love our church. This is home. I love what the Lord is building. I think he's so amazing and so faithful. But if you know about our series right now, we are in a series on the book of Hosea. We believe this is a prophetic book in the Bible. It is a prophetic book in the Bible, but we believe it's prophetic for this time and for this season that we're in. And if you've read ahead and you know, and you maybe studied the book of Hosea, you kind of know what this book is about. And so for the last couple of weeks, Richie's kind of been discussing the different chapters and what's been going on. And I have to be honest with you, the first time that I read the book of Hosea, I was probably like in high school, probably. And so, you know, high schoolers, emo, we got all these things going on. And I read Hosea and I thought, that's not fair. That's not fair. And as someone who was a Christian, who prayed for their husband all the time, had family who prayed for their husband all the time, I could never imagine God asking that. Never. And so for me, the book of Hosea was kind of one of those things where it was like, I'm going to read it, check it off, but I'm not going back to that book. Until you walk through a hard season of life, and God brings you to a book of the Bible, and you read it, and for the first time, like Richie was talking about, that word becomes from a logos, from the written word, to a rhema. It becomes revelation in your spirit. And so today what I'm hoping is that we can bring a little revelation to something that feels unfair. Unfair. So let's dive right into it. I want to define for you fairness, because I think it's important for us to do that. The first thing, fairness is this: the equal distribution of all people just by virtue of their existence. Just by virtue of your existence. That's fairness. Fairness doles out, here's the law, here's the punishment. That's fair. That's what fairness is. But fairness lacks mercy and grace. So sometimes we walk through a situation and we'll say, that's not fair. And God will say, I know. Because I got mercy and I got grace that I'm going to pour out for you. But it's not going to come by fairness. It's going to come by justice. And the Bible says that justice, righteousness, and justice are the foundations of his throne. And so if we look at defining justice, it is to make right. To make it right. God says, I see what happened to you, but I'm going to make it right. I'm not going to dispense fairness in this situation. I'm going to dispense righteousness in this situation. I'm going to make what was done to you right because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want, church. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that our life has been roses and peaches and that we've never walked through anything. We've walked through hard seasons. This church was not birthed out of, we went to a conference, we thought it would be cool to plant a church, da da da. That's not how it happened for us. Other people, it may have. It didn't happen like that for us. This church was birthed out of difficulty and hardship in our own life and us being so broken that we said, yes. If you're asking that of us, then yes, we'll do it. Because we trust you more than we trust our circumstance right now. And so I want us to get to that place. Richie and I have this, we are very different. Our anointings are very different. Our callings are very different. If you know anything about the fivefold ministry gifts, Richie is apostolic in the way that he is. That's just how he is. Thank Paul. But I'm very pastoral. So when I read a book like Hosea, I immediately go to the emotional aspect of it. I go to the relational aspect of it. I look at a man and I say, man, it's not fair that he was called to marry a prostitute. This is a prophet of God. This is someone whose life was consecrated and set apart. And God said, I need you to bind yourself to someone who is never going to love you the way that I can. What do we do? How do we rationalize that in our mind when the Lord said, I want you to minister to the person that hurt you? What do you do? How do we... How do we contextualize that in our thoughts? The only way that we can is if we say, Lord, it's not fair, but I know you're going to make it right. It's not fair, but I know you're going to make it right. And so I'm going to stand here before you declaring the goodness of God, even though I don't get it and I can't fully process and I don't understand why I'm having to go through hardship and difficulty right now. But don't ever make the mistake of telling yourself I'm the only one, because you're not. If I handed the microphone right now around this room, we would be blown away by what people have had to endure and walk through, maybe before they were saved, but most of the time when they were saved. Just because you accept Christ in your heart does not mean we get a pass on everything that is hard and difficult. If we look at Hosea, we see the very opposite of that. A man set apart. My stomach is growling, y'all. I am so sorry. I'm like, this is embarrassing. Do not put the mic down, because it is going to sound like. Psalms 89:14 said, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before. Unfailing love and truth walk beside and before him. Think about that for a second as we go into the next couple of chapters and as we read. Chapters number one in Hosea, the Lord tells Hosea to marry a prostitute. We know that. Richie talked about that. Last week, chapter number two, God tells Hosea she's going to wander. She's going to wander, but I'm going to set up a set of circumstances to bring her back. Y'all hear my stomach? I'm going to set up a set of circumstances to bring her back. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult for the nation of Israel, but it's going to be the very catalyst that I use to draw her heart back to me. Some of us have walked through hardship and difficulty, and we've walked through difficult seasons, and we've wondered, okay, God, what are you doing? If I'm going to be truthful in here, I'm going to tell you there is a season of my life where I felt like I hated God. Can I be real in here today? I felt like this is not fair. What's happening to my family is not fair. It's not fair. It was a difficult season, but the Lord used it. He used it at a time when I thought we were good. We're so good. We're so great. Look at God. It's a good thing you're using us. It's a good thing that you're using us, because we're so awesome. And then you get hit with tragedy, and it's like, what did I do? What did I do? I can't imagine Hosea's process in the midst of this. Like, what did I do, God? What did I do? Somewhere between chapters number two and chapter number three, we can see that some kind of divorce happened, because Gomer is no longer connected to Hosea in the way that a wife and a husband would be connected. She has positioned herself, her sin, her idol worship has positioned her in such a way that she is now connected to someone else. For some of us, we have been in situations before where we were connected to God, love God, I worship God, I serve God, but our wandering heart caused us to go in a direction that we didn't need to be. And now we're connected to something that it is only by the grace of God that we would be removed from that situation. Only by the grace of God that we could be removed. Let's read Hosea chapter 3. There's only four short verses in this, but I want to read it. And it says, then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. Think about it. Go and love her again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. Verse number two. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even me. Everybody say boundaries. boundaries. This shows that Israel will go a long time without a king or prince, and without sacrifices, sacred pillars, priests, or even idols. But afterwards, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David's descendants, their king. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. Just for a minute, if you can't see in this moment what's happening, I want you to process for a second. The Lord has asked him to marry a prostitute. They have had children together. Remember, Lo Rami and Lo something else, meaning the Lord loves me, the Lord doesn't love me. Remember that in chapter 2. He talks about this. So here we see there's some kind of divorce that's happened, and now the Lord is saying, I want you to go back into that situation. Go get her. Go get her, because this is going to be a picture of the way that I run after people. Go love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. And that's our heart. That's what we do. We love God. We run after him. But then we make the choice to start. Oh, well, I have to work a little bit more. I need more money. I need more of this. I got to have a little more of that. And God's saying, am I still number one? Am I still number one? Because he asks that of us all the time. Am I still number one? He'll set up circumstances and situations to see your reaction to make sure, wait a second, maybe I'm off a little bit. Maybe I'm not where I need to be right now, Lord. Thank you for bringing me back into alignment with you. In verse number 2, I want to dissect this for a second, because it says, so I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. And what you need to know today is that was the price that it cost to buy back a slave. To redeem a slave in Bible times. She was already his. She was already his wife, but she had given herself over to another. And now there was a cost that had to be associated with getting her back. Do you see Jesus in that? Do you see how he paid a price that we couldn't pay to get us back from a place we shouldn't have been? And that's what he does for us. And that free gift of salvation is offered to us. But it's also our job, like Hosea's, to go get them and bring them back. Bring people back into right relationship with Jesus. Restore them to a place where they can see that he is good and he is faithful. And only his righteousness and justice are what I need, not fairness. I don't need fairness in this situation, because I made a mess of my life. I need his justice to make right what I can't do for myself. That's what we need. The part about go love your wife again. It does something to me. Go love your wife again. And I think about the times when I've been wronged, when I've been hurt. And the Lord said, tell them how much I love them. There was a season of our life about 8 years ago where our family walked through a tragedy. And I'm going to be vague, but something was done to us. And it caused me, like I said before, it caused me to not trust God, to not believe that he had our best. And I would read scripture that said, the Lord has a plan to prosper and not to harm you. And I would think, that's a lie. Can I be real today? Is it okay? Just let me be real, please. Because I can't be fake up here. But I'm going to tell you that in that season of life, that it caused me to feel like I hated him, because he didn't protect like I thought he should. He didn't watch over like I thought he should. And I was mad at the circumstances And what I kept saying was, you're not fair. This isn't fair. We shouldn't have to go through this. We're good people. We do the right thing. We love you. We serve you. We've given our life for you. But at this moment, if this is what it looks like, I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm being honest, 100% honest with you in here today. I don't want to serve a God who would allow that. I don't want to give over everything only to have to be hurt. And if I'm being truthful in here today, it took a long time for me to even communicate this with him. Because I was like, that's it, I'm done. And thank you, Jesus, for praying family members and praying community that was around us at that time. Because they rallied and they prayed and they believed God for us and for me. When I didn't want anything to do with him, you better be careful with who you connect yourself in community with, because they will push you and they will hold you and they will protect you and rally around you when you can't do it for yourself. Better be careful. And they'll call you when you miss church on Sunday and bug you because they love you. But if I'm being truthful, it took years, guys, years of praying, crying, counseling, all kinds of stuff. It took years to get to the point where I felt like, okay, we're in a good place. And then the Lord says to me one day in quiet time, hey, you know those people who hurt you? Yeah. Yeah, I want you to minister to them. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. The answer is no. And then it was interesting because Richie comes to me and says, hey, I've been praying about something. I just need you to pray about it. Those people, I feel like the Lord's saying we need to minister. I was like, yeah. Well, God already asked me. I said no, so it's no. It's no. But really, honestly and truthfully, because I had seen him and his justice over our life, and when I didn't deserve it, and when I didn't deserve mercy, and when I said things to him that were so hurtful, but he loved me in the midst of that. That I said, okay, if that's what it means, then we'll do it. And so we did. We did. We ministered to people that absolutely destroyed us on the inside. And it was hard and it was difficult. But I will tell you something, that God's grace was sufficient in that season, and that he sustained us. And there were many times where I was like, this is pointless. It's stupid. But as soon as that was over, the Lord said, now you're ready. I want you to step out and I want you to plant a church. And we were like, what? Are you kidding me? Out of that? We don't want that story. We want the easy story. But I remembered what the Bible talks about when it says that he refines his gold before he presents his gold. And I remember him saying, now you're ready. I had to purify some things inside of you guys before I could use you guys. See, our heart has always been that we didn't have a typical church like every other church. We're not going to stand up here and fluffy and make it nice and package it up with a pretty bow. We're going to try. I mean, we've got love up there. We're going to try. But at the same time, we're not called to make the multitude, to produce the multitude. We're called to make disciples. And so I don't want people that are just coming in, occupying a church, and then leave and are crazy. Well, yeah, I go to the community chapel. What I want is people that are going to change the world. That's who I want to be connected to. I want to be connected to people who do hard things. I want to be connected to people who love God, embrace community, and serve the world. That's why they're our core values. Because they didn't come from an easy place. Those three things on there don't come from an easy place. They come from hard-fought battles. And we know that if the Lord is going to do it through us, we have to go through it before you guys go through it. And so I'm not standing up here telling you something today that's like, this is really easy. Yes, go home and do it. No, it's really difficult to serve the Lord. It's really difficult to serve the Lord because sometimes he drops us right in the middle of situations with no safety net. And he says, love people in the midst of that. And there's no rules to life when it comes to things like that. There's no rules. It's like a free-for-all. Like, okay, I'm just surviving here, Lord. But in the midst of all of that difficulty and all of those circumstances, the Lord was faithful and he continues to be faithful. And when I prayed about this message today and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to share that part of your testimony, I was like, I'm not doing that. But then knowing today I had to get up this morning and share this part of my testimony, it was a battle. But I really felt like the Lord, and I told this to Brock before service today, I really feel like the bulk of what you're going to experience from this message is going to come this week. I really feel like the heart work of this message is going to come this week. When you're in situations, and if you don't mind coming up, please. When you're in situations this week, that's when I feel like the bulk of this message is going to be revealed to you. Because there are some hard things that he's going to ask you to do if he's not already asked you to do them. Some of you in here are like, Missy, I totally relate to your situation. I totally relate to that circumstance. So what our job is to help and rally, to encourage others that are going through a difficult season and hardships and difficulties. No, we don't want God's fairness. We don't want his fairness. We want his justice because we want him to make things that were wrong right. And we want him to change our heart in such a way that we can love people that don't deserve to be loved because we didn't deserve love. And the fact that we can stand up and serve a God in the midst of hardship and difficulty, your struggle, your process, your journey is a testimony to the people around you. The fact that you could come through all of that and you landed at the feet of Jesus only for him to say, that's my kid. And I'm going to refine that gold, but then I'm going to present that gold. And each one of you in here, I don't care if you are like, I'm just here for like someone invited me, or if you really are serving the Lord, I don't care what your story is. God has such an intense purpose for your life. Don't ever doubt the fact, why was I created? You were created on purpose for a purpose. And he's going to use you in that capacity to present his son to the world. Every environment that you are in, every situation that you are in is an opportunity to give God glory and to give him praise. I don't care what it is. It may be the hardest, most difficult situation that you could have ever imagined walking through, but the sheer fact that you could get up every day and say, God is good, even though this sucks, is he's worthy. He's worthy. When I see Hosea, I see a man who probably wrestled with the fairness versus the justice of God. Guys, he probably was a single dad who was trying to figure out, how do I tell these kids about their mama? You see, we read the Bible and we're like, oh, it's not relevant for today. It's more relevant than you think it is. You got to get into the Word. He was just trying to figure out, what do I do, Lord? How do I rationalize this? And God's like, just stay close. I'll tell you what to do. That's why we believe this book is so prophetic, because there is nothing in the Word of God that is not relevant for today. Nothing. And it's all God-breathed, God-inspired. So we're not going to skip over chapters of the Bible just because they're hard or they're difficult. We're going to dive in and we're going to say, Lord, what do you have for us? What do you want us to know in this season? The last thing I want to say today is forgive. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. We have to be in a pattern of forgiveness. The moment that we start holding things back, that we start making people pay, that we start exacting revenge, the moment that we do that, we actually hold ourselves hostage. The reason why we're talking about Hosea today is because he said yes, not because he said no. Not because he said, no, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous that you would even ask me that. The fact that he said, yes, I will, is why we're discussing him today. And his actions are a picture of redemption. The word redeem means to regain possession through payment. Regain. It was already mine. That's us. We were already his. He created us. Psalms 139 says, he formed us in our mother's womb. He put us there. But he said, I created them, but now I'm going to get them. That's what he does. And that's how he chases our heart. Because he created us, but he purchased us with Jesus' blood. Titus 2, 12 through 14 says this, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward to with hope to the wonderful days when the glory of God, of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Verse number 14. He gave his life to redeem or buy us back from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. He created you, but then he chased you. He created you and then he ran after you. And then he's asking us, can you do that for others? Can you show them my love? Can you redeem the unlovable? Can you walk alongside people in the midst of hardship and difficulty? Or do we say, it's too messy for me? I'm sure Jesus probably thought that with some of us. I know he did with me. She's a mess, but she's my mess, and I'll take her.